We're allowed to still talk until we get to the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Everybody's waiting. Here we go. Be ready. Come on. Woohoo! That's the number we were looking for. Okay. Good morning. Today, we gather. We gather as the vines to find out if we can do it again, to wear masks in worship. And today, to worship with singing behind the masks. So what you have been doing for the last few weeks, pretending you weren't singing behind your mask, today you are allowed to do it behind your mask. So still sing. I'll be able to tell whether you're singing or not because I'll be going, I'll be able to see it going in and out. I will put my mask on when I come back down there and sit down there, but we are allowed to officially not have our masks here, so that's good. So we're going to listen to these well-known songs that we present to you out the front, and you will sing. And still, we're going to find out if anyone notices that you didn't put makeup on this morning, because you were going to have it covered with a mask anyway, so what the heck. But seriously, it'll be different. A great opportunity to be together. We can do different, and we are allowed to sing. What a team we've got here. A chance to enjoy some great music. What the Lord has done in me. We're going to stand as well as sing. Woohoo! Okay, stay standing. How deep the Father's love for us. Before we start, isn't it great to have Jolie playing at the back there? That's amazing. I agree. Sorry, Jolie. Let her. We need to talk a little minute. She's been embarrassed about it. No, she's ready. Singing from behind the masks. That was lovely. You may sit and enjoy the chance to listen to the first part of today's Bible readings. There'll be two sections, and Pam is going to present both of them. Thank you, Pam.
Good morning, all. Our first reading today is from Corinthians 2, chapter 5, verses 11 to 15. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to your consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance, but not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them.
I'm just going to go down and watch. I can't be set on Dave's dodgy drawing. Is it dodgy Dave's drawings or is it Dave's dodgy drawings? I'm never too sure.
I think I prefer the Dave's dodgy drawing. When I'm at PACs, it's Reverend Dave's dynamic drawings. Because there's nothing dodgy at PAC. Well, hey, time for a children's talk. And what I thought today, Trevor, who's preaching, thanks, Trev, that's a good job, is actually going to be preaching about new creations. And I thought, well, I thought I'd bring along some things that we associate with outward appearance. To begin with, you know, so how do we change and, you know, like, so if I'm wearing this as a part of my outward appearance, what am I potentially doing? Playing soccer? Weightlifting? Swimming? Skateboarding. Skateboarding or bike riding? I'll accept that. All right. What about this? So if I'm wearing this, and let me see if I can land that on your head from here. It could be a new game. Oh, almost. So if I'm wearing an army hat, you know, potentially I'm in the army. If you're surrounded with this sort of tape, what does that mean? You're a building site? Yes, thank you. What about this? I have a way to change your outside appearance. Sorry, Mum. Who would like their haircut? I can give you a nice three cut with every note. Yeah, but look, you know, I guess we talk about outward appearance, but just because we have things on the outside doesn't really change our inside, does it? So I was thinking, well, how am I going to help you guys to change on the inside? So all weekend I've been concocting a wonderful potion. Found some ants and pulled off every second leg. Put it in a pot, found some frogs and rubbed the back of their skin and just put it back in the water. Found some slugs, ground it up. Then, you know, some dog food and a bit of red cordial just to top it all off. To make this beautiful warning change potion here. Let me just... I'm going to spray it on you and you're going to be different. Are you ready? Do you feel different? Not being much help today, Trev, I'm afraid. So how do we change? So like if we talk about God changing us on the inside, which I've just done a big leap, how does that happen? How does God change us on the inside? I've tried hard, but nothing seems to have worked. How do we change on the inside? Good question, isn't it? How do we change on the inside? Praying more, yes. Yep, so praying more, seeking some more information about God, yeah. And it's almost like, you know, if we're like a door, you know, the only way someone comes in is if we let them in. And so it's part of our journey of faith is saying, Jesus, help me know you more. I open my life to you. Come in. Fill me. So that really is, as you said, the key part of our journey of growing. So let's pause and pray, and then you've got some Sunday school stuff you're going to be doing today, which will be good. Lord Jesus, each person here has the opportunity to continue to grow on the inside. We ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to shape us. More importantly, we ask that we may open our lives to you. I'm going to say a few words, and I want you to repeat them out loud. Everybody together. Jesus, come into my life.
Jesus, come into my life.
I put aside my mistakes.
I put aside my mistakes.
And I accept your forgiveness.
And I accept your forgiveness.
Come and fill me with your love.
Fill me with your love.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Thank you for your time.
Too much that has to hang on my left ear. My glasses, my mask, and my microphone. Now this next song is a very, very, very special song for me. Robin Mann is a South Australian amazing composer, singer, performer, presenter. And back in the, not quite when dinosaurs roamed the earth, back in the 70s, when Rob first went to teach out at Paraka, and if you remember back, around about somewhere there was, we had petrol restrictions or something or other, and so the principal of the school I was at arranged for us to, as teachers, as staff, to sometimes go as, what do you call it, ride sharing, and Mr. Bias, he was my principal back then, he arranged for me to ride share, to go halfway to Paraka, which was where I was teaching, with Dorothy Mann, Robin's wife. And she's just as good as he is, I can tell you that. And it changed my life. She's an amazing person. Robin and Dorothy sang back then in a Christian rock group called Kinderchrist, and I'm pretty sure she still sings. And she sings amazingly. This song, the chorus goes, "Jesus, please watch over us. Jesus, please take care of us." It's just a lovely song. Let's go. Stay seated.
As we step from the edge of morning, feet can't tell where to take us. Here's a light that will shine forever. Here's a light that will guide us. Jesus, please watch over.
And at the end of our service after the benediction, we are going to sing. We, not we, but we are all going to sing that as our little thing to take out. I won't say anything more.
No, thanks. That's why we don't have red cordial before the service, isn't that right? Hey, look, for those online and those here today who maybe are visiting for the first time, welcome. And we hope you have a really great time today. Again, we try and be authentic, try and, be real about what's happening in life. And one of the points of celebration in our lives is that there is a couple who have reached 70, the 70 milestone. Now, I'm not talking about 70 years of age, and I'm not talking about a combined marriage of 70 years, but actually 70 years of married life together. If your name is Alan and Nancy, could you put your hands up, please? Let's give them a round of applause. Woohoo! Yes, that's sensational. You've been alive longer than, you've been married. You know what I'm trying to say. Fantastic. So it's really a sensational thing. And, if we had a bit more time, maybe we could ask you some of your secrets for a long marriage together. This week, or next couple of weeks, I'm at the Vine, so that's good. So if you've been hanging out, waiting to harass me or talk to me about stuff, feel free. Please do it. What else? There's a couple of adverts for chaplaincy in schools. So in the public schools, there are Christian pastoral workers or pastoral care workers. Thank you very much. They keep changing their title. There's a couple of schools. So if you'd like to talk to Leon or know someone who might be interested, it's a good opportunity to be involved in schools. So Ranella Primary and Hackham Primary. Again, Leon would love to talk to you about that. Are there any other notices I should be mentioning that I have not? Take questions from the floor. Okay. Thank you, Rob. Okay.
It's actually nice to breathe fresh air, isn't it? But it's what we have to do. A little bit. Prayer is coming consciously into the presence of God. It is about emptying our minds of all that weighs us down as we remember again that God has the whole world in his hands. And recognizing that though our world might be crumbling around us, if we keep trusting in our all-sufficient God, then there is nothing that can ever defeat us. So, as we come into this with this confidence, let us pray our prayers of intercession this morning. Wonderful God, Creator, Father, Mother, Redeemer, and Friend, you are all we ever need as you daily speak into our lives through every experience, offering hope and peace to enable us to move through the highs and lows of living in this imperfect world with all its demands and challenges. Sometimes it seems so hard to make sense of what is happening around us, but somehow you help us to put things into perspective and to see more clearly your hand upon our lives. You are our anchor and our hope as we take time to reflect upon the many blessings that daily are ours. Without this certainty, Lord, we would find ourselves floundering and weighed down by fear and anxiety, and at times life would be almost unbearable. And so our hearts are full of gratitude. But gracious Lord, we recognise that there are many in our community for whom life is a constant struggle and for whom there seems to be no joy in living. Loneliness, homelessness, separation from loved ones, abuse of all kinds, all leave them vulnerable and hurting. They are without hope and sense of future. Please, Lord, show us the way as individuals and as a church community to break down the barriers which divide. Help us to look with your eyes upon those whom we encounter in our daily journey. Help us to find ways to show them the depth of your love and grace, to help them understand that there is no one in this world that you do not love. May we be your channels of unconditional love, we pray. How our hearts ache, Lord, at the state our world is in. Pandemic wreaking havoc across the whole globe and creating such fear in our own country. People stranded far from home and loved ones. The fighting that is in so many vulnerable countries. Floods and fires in others. Politicians constantly at odds as power and greed seem to rule their decisions. But even as we voice these thoughts, dear God, we know that you have hands and feet and voices in the midst of all the chaos, as there are those who try to make a difference. We lift up to you this morning those exhausted frontline workers across so many areas in our country who help so many people and who rarely receive the tribute they deserve, even though they are often putting themselves at risk. Lord God, we ask that even if they are not aware from where their strength comes, that you will continue to enable them to find strength for their task amid the fears and the tears. But also, gracious Father, there are those we know personally who are struggling with their own issues at this present time. Ill health, recovering from surgery, loneliness and grief in this weird time. There are those for whom there are life-changing decisions to make. There are those whose friends and loved ones are struggling with painful situations, families cracked and broken, children who are finding life difficult, so many things that this imperfect world projects upon us. So, Lord, we open our hands and our hearts and we lift them to you now in silence as we place all the worries and concerns in your hands, trusting that you will meet us all at our point of need. We are so grateful, Lord, that there is no place nor situation where you are not there to comfort, reassure, heal, lift up, and bring peace. We thank you that whatever us concerns, you hear, understand, and answer our prayers. Gentle God, the sense of helplessness threatens us and overwhelms us as we accept that we cannot make it better for those about whom we care. Help us to remember that with faith in our hearts, there is nothing that with you we cannot overcome. And remind us again that nothing can ever separate us from your love and grace. And give us, we pray, strength and courage for each day's journey. Lord God, we rejoice with those for whom life is going well, for the excitement of new life, anticipation of new beginnings, for promises and possibilities which lie before them, even in the messiness of our current world. Help us each to be fully aware of your providence in our lives every day. And we thank you for the deep joy that is ours, knowing that if we truly trust you, you will empower us to live victoriously. And may we, each one, see you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day, as we abide in your love. In the precious name of Jesus, we offer these prayers. Amen.
Our second reading continues from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The prayer of St. Francis. Lovely lyrics, lovely words, amazing. Let's go. Stay seated.
Do you want me to pray for it?
Yes.
Yes, sure. Got there eventually. Glasses, masks, and oh, thank you, Leanne. Let's just pray for the offering now. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your gracious gift to us. Thank you for your incredible love. Thank you for incredible faithfulness. And thank you that we can bring back to you just part of who we are to you. And Father God, as we come this morning to look at your word, we pray that you will add your wisdom and and what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Leon. Good morning, everybody. It's certainly a privilege to be able to bring the word of God to you this morning. And God's word is one of hope, transformative, and my prayer is together we will receive a fresh glimpse of the heart of God this morning. We're continuing a series on living by faith. It has been a while since we were here, but we're back here this morning. It's a bit of a recap. The passage was 2 Corinthians 5:11 to 15, and David Pryor shared the revelation of Jesus being so significant to Paul. On the road to Damascus, he went on being a persecutor of Christ to becoming a missionary, establishing church communities amongst the Gentiles and instilling Christian values into their communities. It was the love of Christ for him personally that compelled his ministry of life and mission. Paul endured incredible struggles, torture, and imprisonment through his journey. In Romans 8:18, he declared, "I consider the sufferings of this present time not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us." His compulsion could not be shaken. He summarized his mission near the end of his ministry in Romans 1:16-17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith. For faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith." Just about everything that Paul says can be put through those two verses. Paul's compulsion given by Christ led him to establishing churches in Corinth. A city given its significance as a busy port was full of other gods, overridden by debauchery, idolatry, and sexual immorality. Not a place to start a church, you would think. But as we read in Acts 18, a church did start. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul addresses various issues engulfing a new community, trying to come to terms with the wholesome values of a Christian life, surrounded by the wild ways of Corinth. Make no mistake, Paul did not mince words in some of those 16 chapters, which led to the community questioning, if not rejecting, Paul's leadership. In fact, it had got to such a point, Paul alluded to a painful visit, as highlighted in 2 Corinthians 2:1, but instead decided just to write 2 Corinthians instead. This letter did result in a change of heart for the Corinthian community, and Paul spends the first 6 chapters through such themes as God as comforter, forgiveness, the ministry and the glory of the new covenant, also being moulded into the likeness of Christ as a potter moulds jars of clay. He then continued with the future hope of eternity and the ministry of reconciliation. He was a loving pastor, desiring restoration between himself and the Corinthian church. And being compelled by the gospel of Christ, was now urging the church to do the same. The central theme of verses 16 to 21 is because the church was new in Christ, they were to take this newness to the immorality of Corinth. As we will see, the same applies to us today. To set the scene, please consider this story. Every day, an elder would take 2 buckets down to a well. It's about a 30-minute walk. And in this particular story, the buckets can think and talk in this story as well. One of the buckets was whole and full and, you know, water would come back in it. The other bucket was full of holes. And by the time the elder returned, the bucket was empty. And the holy bucket started to think, well, I'm just useless and helpless. I can't. I have no reason. I don't know why the elder's taking me down there. The same scene, day after day, year after year, continued. And it got to the point the holy bucket could stand it no longer. One day it quietly said, I'm sorry to trouble you, but I don't understand why you take me down to the well each day. The other bucket smiled ferociously and nodded. The elder just smiled and said, "All will be revealed tomorrow." We'll come back to this story in a little while. So if the church at Corinth was going to make an impact and inroads into the wild ways of Corinth and its surroundings, where would they start? Paul provides a beginning in verses 16. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we now know him no longer in that way." It was not until the death and resurrection of Jesus did the disciples and those who came after him truly understand who Jesus was. God incarnate, walking amongst them. Yes, there was revolutionary teaching, amazing healings, and incredible miracles, but it was just a man, surely. But the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ changed everything. His followers finally saw who Jesus was, majestically divine and full of glory, the one and only Son of the true and living God, the Father, Creator, and Sustainer of not only the earth, but the whole universe. But unbelievably, the church in Corinth, to be truly impactful, was going to need more motivation than that. The only way it was going to see those around from a heavenly point of view was to realize the incredible transformation in their own lives. Paul in verse 17 makes this declaration. So if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Just let that sink in for a minute. A question for us all at this point. What is it like to be new? Maybe when a new item comes into the house, a fridge, an electronic device, a television, or that some other such item, we get a kind of, you know, warm feeling. Or what about the honeymoon period on a new car, you know, when you wash it every week? But we all know about honeymoon periods. They tend to fade after a short while. Experts say that the motivational impact of a pay rise is about 2 weeks. Is newness a fleeting thing, perhaps? But that is not what Paul is alluding to in verse 17. He is continuing the potter analogy from 2 Corinthians 5:4. If we are in Christ, we are not just new. We are a new creation. A creation is created with a distinct and unique purpose in mind. And even better, all that was old has passed away. In other words, gone forever. So what does this mean for us here at the Vines and for those watching online? If you have accepted Lord Jesus as Lord and Saviour, in other words, you are in Christ. You are, at this very moment, a new creation. Not just temporarily, like a honeymoon period, but permanently and completely. From the time you accepted Christ through to eternity, where we will see Jesus face to face, everlasting life. The work of Jesus on the cross was so complete. When Jesus proclaimed from the cross, Paul goes on in verses 18 and 19. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. Note the key words here. We are reconciled to the Father because of the death and resurrection of Christ. Therefore, this reconciliation, we are forgiven and transformed people, free to be new creations. Our sins are forgiven. It was the former Willow Creek pastor, Bill Hybels, who said, Christianity is the only system of belief on the planet where God has come down the ladder from heaven to us, as opposed to us having to reach some level of perfection. The love of God compels himself, the creator of the universe, to issue the invitation for us to climb the ladder with him and for him to abide in us. Thanks, David. For Paul in Ephesians 3:18 describes this love as incredibly long, high, wide, and deep. Enough to include everybody in his family. Long enough to stretch into the past and future. High enough to reach to the heavens. Wide enough for all of humanity and creation. And deep enough to rescue everyone, no matter what the past may have been. Love, as described in 1 Corinthians 13, as never giving up, persevering at all times, overflowing with patience and kindness. It is no wonder Paul was compelled to be God's missionary to the Gentiles. So we are new, we are loved, and we are part of God's family if we have accepted Christ. This is the assurance we have right now. But what does this mean for us? Verse 19 continues with God entrusting the message of reconciliation to us and goes on in verse 20. So we are ambassadors of Christ, since God is making the appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God has entrusted the message of reconciliation to us. There is a missional aspect to being new. It is not something to be kept to ourselves, but to be shared. The world is desperate, desperate for a new that is everlasting. When something new really grabs attention, it can be transformational, maybe even leave a legacy. The new may not be in a big way, but in our small parts of the world, there are people crying out to be new every day. This brings us back to the bucket and village elder story. So the next day, the elder, as always, will take the holy bucket and the complete bucket down to the well. The complete bucket would often sneer at the holy bucket for being so useless, and so it just went on, and both were filled with water down at the well. And sure enough, as they were walking back to the village, the empty bucket gradually filled the water leave until it was empty. And it felt the complete bucket just smirking at it. It wondered when the elder would share the secret and put its mind at rest. And finally, it was an emptiness that the bucket could bear no longer. And he hoped, as it looked up at the elder, it would just be left there, out in the cold, to rot. Its usefulness was gone. But the elder looked down at the forlorn bucket, one that had been carried all these years. They turned around to the well-worn path, and the elder gently said, "It's true, the complete bucket brings water back to the village every day. The water brings life to the village." The complete bucket smiled proudly. It was essential to the survival of the village. "But," continued the elder, "you see all the flowers along the side of the path? The tree over there? The shrubs?" The bucket looked up. It was all quite beautiful, but still did not see where the answer was coming from. "Well," continued the elder, "there was a reason I would bring you every day. All the flowers, the shrubs, even that tree are all because of you. Your water has brought life to the valley." There was silence for a while. The complete bucket was in awe as the holy bucket looked around and saw the beauty. It had found peace, everlasting peace. You see, it was not the complete bucket that brought life to the valley, but the broken one. There is a word out there, broken in so many ways. The needs that life only Christ can bring. How amazing that with all the resources in heaven, God still chooses us to be his hands and his feet. His ambassadors in the world, we not only carry the message of reconciliation, we are the message of reconciliation as we point to the source of life, Jesus Christ. We may not be perfect, maybe even a little broken, like the bucket, but God still uses us. We are God's new creation. The old has gone forever. Paul concludes the passages in verse 20 and 21. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we may become the righteousness of God. As Jesus proclaimed in Matthew 28, God desires all to be part of his kingdom. He sent his son, who had no sin, to take on the sins of the world. It is this compelling act that transformed Paul into the man of God he was and still is through his legacy. The invitation to all listening today is to accept God's invitation and accept Jesus Christ for yourself and to enter into the assurance of eternal life. Paul's legacy being pointing to Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God, and the Father who is the light and only answer for this world. This legacy is now transferred to us, together as we walk the journey of faith, pointing to Jesus, the light of the world. Let us pray. Father God, your work on the cross through your Son was just so complete. It is finished to the old, bringing in the new. It is finished to sin and everlasting life. It is finished to not knowing about our future, to knowing what our future with you is. Father God, there are many people in this world who are yet to know this love and this assurance. And for any who are listening today who still don't really quite get it, I pray that you will come to them in love and grace and reveal yourself to them. And for us here at the Vines, as we go through our days in our small parts of the world, may we be ambassadors of Christ for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Trevor, for that message. I rather like the thought of being a holy bucket. Will you just pray with me? God of amazing grace, love and beauty, thank you for Trevor's message, reminding us that you have the power to transform our lives and give us a reason to be and a purpose to fulfill. Transformed by your love and grace to be your representatives in this messy world. Help us, we pray, to honour that call in all we do and say and are as we daily encounter those who have yet to discover the difference that faith in you makes to our living. Amen.
Okay. See if you can sit down and sing this. Don't know, just joking. Let's stand. Let's go.
Soft.
Look, you know, thanks, Trevor. I think there was one of the truths is we often don't know the impact we have on other people's lives, do we? And that's why it's so important when we live out those values all the time. We are watering those around us, even if we don't know. So that's a really good reminder, a great message. So go into this week, keep watering those around you with the grace and love of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
And just that chorus from that earlier song. 4, 3.